Radharasa Nidhi class. Verse 135, continuing, describing five nectarian sevas of the Manjaris rendered for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And yesterday we were hearing about Tambul Seva, Chamara Seva, and also the Mandanam. Pari says Malyadye Parimandale. Malyadye Parimandaye. Quachit. Quachit means when. Sometimes, or when. Sometimes I'll render this service. I will fan Radha Krishna Yugal in a kunja with Chamara fan or flower fan. Sometimes I'll massage their feet. Sometimes I'll offer them fragrant water to drink. Sometimes I'll give them some refreshments, some fruit drinks or some cut up fruits or some sweets. So this is the mandanam. Mandanam means decoration, ornamenting. Mandanam. So we're describing, this is Malya Mandanam. When will I decorate the divine couple, Radharani and Krishna, with Pushpa Mala, flower mala, or it can be Ratna Mala, Hira Mala, Moti Mala, necklaces of jewels, pearls, and diamonds, or maybe I'll decorate them with Gunja Mala, which is small red and black beads, Gunja Mala, or maybe I'll decorate them with Tulsi Mala, Tulsi Manjaris, Tulsi flowers, all these different decorations we were hearing yesterday. The Manjaris will offer for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Tambulam kvachit arpayami charano samvahayami kvachin malyadye parimandaye kvachiraho samvijayami kvachit karpurari svasitam kvachapuna susvaru chamboritam Payam eva grihe kada kalu bhaje Shri Radhika Madhava. So this is, I said this is called Panchamrita Seva. Manjari's Panchamrita Seva. That was yesterday's title. On maybe on the net if it's up there. And this is Seva number five, which is... I have one note here. Yeah. And seva number five is massaging. We already discussed about offering fragrant drinks. So now this is samvahayami. Samvahan, it means also in Hindi to give malish or massage of Radharani's feet. After rasa dancing, Radha and Krishna's feet are, their whole bodies are fatigued and tired from the exertion of the rasa or in the intimacies of their exchanges and the kunjas. Radha and Krishna will very much appreciate a foot massage. So the Manjaris, the Nityasakhi Manjaris and Kinkaris of Radharani are very expert, as I mentioned over the last few days, very expert in rendering their various sevas. So this seva is here. And the verse 135 of Radharasa Sudaniti, it's mentioned, firstly, Tambulam kvachit arpayami charanam samvahayami kvachin. So the sequence of the lila, the sevas that are described are not really done in sequence, because the word that's used to describe their sevas is kvachit. Kvachit means sometimes. Sometimes, in some past times, I will render this service, and other times I'll render that service. There's different services. So this is depends on the time, place, and circumstances. And I already mentioned that when one reads about the various eternal services of Radharani's maidservants, her manjaris, her nityasakhis, Nityasakhis, Pransakhis, Kinkaris, he may become very attracted to one's service. Oh, this is very nice. I would like to cook for Radha and Krishna. Or I would like to do Shringar, Seva, decorating. Because some devotees here, in this world as sadhakas, The guru is very interactive with the disciples, with the shishya. So he says, all right, what are your talents? What are your talents? What do you know? How can you serve Krishna? How do you want to serve Krishna? Many times the spiritual master, I mean, the grihasthas that live out in their own homes, they take care of their families and do what they can. But sometimes those disciples that are closely connected to Guru, the Guru may in fact ask them, what service would you like to do? And then they might say, well, I want to do Shringar Seva, decorating or dressing Radha and Krishna. And you see some devotees, they become expert in that. One of the most famous or well-known devotees, at least in Vrindavan side, is Aindra Das. He was well-known for Harinam, his kirtan, but especially his dressing, which I mentioned before. So here we're talking about this samvahan, that the mantris, they're expert and adept in rendering this seva of malish. And I was saying that as in sadhakas, the guru may say, what do you like to do for Krishna? You may say dressing. And you may dress as a sadhaka, you may dress the deities here. And then in the spiritual world, that may become your nitya seva, that your eternal service, if you like it so much. Even sometimes when the gurus give pranali, those gurus that give siddha pranali to their disciples, they're most everything is by the guru's meditation or by his revelation or understanding how he sees that disciple in what particular form and presentation, dress and complexion. But sometimes of these 11, the guru may ask about one. Sometimes the guru will say, what seva would you like to do for Krishna? As here, as sadhakas, in the present body we're in, man or woman, the guru may ask us, if we're closely connected to him or living in his temple, he may say, what service do you like to do? So even there, not always, occasionally, usually the guru dictates to you, but he may ask you, and then that's a chance when you can express, oh, my heart is really, I read about this seva and it's very touching to my heart and I would like to render this. So each one will get a particular seva, and as I mentioned the other day, the sakis, the astasakis of Radharani, and all the mantris, they're expert in the 64 arts and they're expert in all the different sevas, but each one of them has one particular seva that they're super expert in. So I collected that, some list here. Lalita Sakhi. Her nitya seva is offering tambul, which of course we have in this verse. Tambulam kvachit arpayami charano samvahayami. When will I offer, when will I become expert in arpayami, offering arpan? Arpayami, when will I become expert in offering or presenting to Radharani or Krishna some wonderful betel nuts wrapped in a palm leaf and scented with some camphor or katechu and this lime paste, this white lime paste, and sometimes raisins, coconut, different seasons you'll insert in the pan batika, in a tambal or betel, a pan, you'll make heating pan and cooling pan and refreshing pan, relaxing pan, invigorating pan. There's many, many types of pan. Sevas. Some are digestive. They're very good. The accent of the herbs there is for digestion. The herbs and spices that are mixed in that tambul. Or invigorating, if they're fatigued after dancing, they want to be invigorated. So then sometimes saffron, sometimes camphor, long cloves and cinnamon, heating spices, many, many different things. So this is an expertise which Lalita, this is our Nitya Seva, she's expert in this. Vishakha, she's... Raghunath Das Goswami Pad mentions in Stavavali that he approaches Vishakha Devi and prays to her to teach him how to tell jokes, Narma Yukti. Narma Yukti means speech which is full of jokes. And but in addition, she's also recognized Vishakha is very expert in arranging ornaments on Radharani's body and dressing her and clothing. He describes, I believe it's Vishakha, and Govinda Lilamrita, when Radharani is getting dressed in the morning for her seva in Nandagram after bathing in Yavat or Varsana, then she's getting dressed, so then it says that Vishakha is taking she's taking off Radharani's ornaments, the ones she had at night or was wearing before she bathed, and it says as she's taking off each ornament from Radharani, maybe she's taking off her earrings to replace with new ones, she's so careful as if someone is carefully plucking flowers. You can't just randomly pick flowers when you're picking flowers for Krishna, for Mogra. Mogra is called Bela in Vrindavan, Mogra flower. It's also called Malika. Malika is the name of Mogra. Mogra, Malika, Bela. A little white flower, like this big or so, in diameter. It's very, very fragrant. When they make full bungalows, these bungalows are cottages of flowers for Bunky Bihari and Radharaman, that's all Mogra, Malika flowers, very fragrant. So when you pluck them, they're four or five, they grow very close together. And one may be closed, flower bud, and the other one, the next door neighbor is open. So you can't just say, okay, they're there, and pull them and catch the blossoming flower. Because if you pull them all, then you'll pull off the ones that will blossom in 2 days. So you have to very deftly and carefully, you know, if you have any experience picking flowers for Krishna and Radha, making mala, then you can't just, you have to be a little sensitive, careful, slow, attentive. And it's also personal, even aside from the devotional viewpoint or the seva viewpoint of the surrendered kinkar or kinkari. The other idea is just the natural flow of love between humans and nature. The nature has been given. We are human beings are supposed to be the custodians of nature. They are the caretakers for nature. They receive so many blessings. Nature is a mother, and all of her creations are the offerings of the mother to the human beings and animals and everyone. We say Mother Nature. It's very common. So the plants and the fruits and all these offerings for the humankind, for their pleasure, for their satisfaction. That's the general viewpoint. But for us, it's for seva, so we have to be very careful and loving when we pick fruits and flowers, because all these things belong to the mother. So Vishakha, this is the analogy that Krishna's Kaviraj uses, that Vishakha is so attentive, if you observe, and apparently Krishna's Kaviraj in his sarupa, his Kasturi Manjari, is right there. Tulsi Manjari and Kasturi Manjari are like side by side throughout the Govinda Lilamrita. So they're there in this Pratak Kala when Radharani's bathing and dressing. And so Kasturi is an eyewitness news to how Chitra paints Radharani's face, how Lalita is doing her seva, how Vishakha is preparing the clothing and taking off the ornaments. So Krishna's Kaviraj writes that, I believe it's Vishakha, she removes each ornament. She takes Radharani's earrings off with such expertise, and it appears in the eyes of Kasturi Manjari and presenting to us in Govinda Lilamrita, it appears that Vishakha is removing flowers. Each ornament on Radharani's body is like a flower, and she's careful. Oh, this is her earring, and put it down. This is her earring. You know, this is her bracelet. And having read that years and years and years ago, sometimes we would have the seva in Vrindavan with Radha Shyam, Radha Krishna. We go in the morning and then offer Mangalartik and then undress Radha and Shyam. So then bathe them, and bathing, and then afterwards Mukunda Dutta would come and dress Radharani, and Aindra Prabhu would dress Krishna, Vishyam Sundar. So I had read that, so then I tried to do my seva with that bhav and methodology and exactness of Vishakha and the other Sakhis. So this is the whole idea, the blending, the Ajatarati Sadaka. The Ajatarati Sadaka, the Sadaka who has not yet come to the level of Bhav. Ajata means not born, Jata or Janma. It says Ajatarati Sadaka. So Bhav is a very high level, Prema, Sneha, then Pranaya, Man, Rag. Excuse me, we have, that was another thing. But to come to Bhav, we have to go through Anartha Nivritti, Anishta, and Ruchi, and then Asakti, then Bhav, then Prema. So it's very high. So we're Ajata Rati. Rati means Bhav. That has not come, has not descended into our heart like a ray of sunshine. It says Kiranamshu, comes down like a ray of sun from the Parishas and from the Lord. From above it comes down to us, floods our heart with this bhav, pure bhakti. So therefore, what we're doing, our actions, they may be mixed with the ideas and sevas and actions of the bhava bhaktas and the ragatmika janas and Krishna's eternal associates. So as above, so below. As the mandris and sakis are trying to serve Radharani, so in our meditative meditation, in our sarup siddhi, or sarup siddhadeya, our nitya sarup, or in our even practical services, we blend the nitya lila with the nitya lila and activities and sevas of Radha and Krishna's parishads with our own daily practices of sadhana. And that's very much what was done. You see the painters, when they paint pictures of Radha and Krishna and Leelas, they read all the books about Radha and Krishna, how they're dressed, how they look, and they try to get the idea and then replicate that on the canvas. In the old days, paintings of Radha and Krishna, you would just see Radha and Krishna looking something like they look in Indian posters. There was some kind of gold bangles and nothing very specific. But now, when you see the paintings of the modern artists, devotional artists, it shows Radharani's chin, and there's a black dot there on her chin. That's called musk or kasturi. And that's in Govinda Lilamrita. When Chitra's painting Radharani's face, she very expertly puts one black dot in the middle of Radharani, at the tip of Radharani's chin. And the analogy is that kasturi bindu on Radharani's chin looks like a bumblebee poised on the edge of a golden lotus petal. So her chin is compared to the petal, the flower petal of a golden lotus flower, is Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. And that black bee is, of course, later that another black bee will take off that black bee. And Krishna will meet Radharani and say, Who is this Madhusudan sitting on your chin? That's my place. And then Krishna will kiss that chin of Radharani and remove that chinna. Because chinna, C-I-H-N-A, means mark. We say charan chinna, the 19 marks on the bottom of Radha's feet and Krishna's feet. It's called charan chinna. So Krishna will, that Madhusudan, black bumblebee, that black honeybee lover, Nagar, Krishna will see that black bumblebee on Radharani's chin, which is a dot, as a kasturi bindu, and say, who is this? I'm the only male here. There's no bumblebees allowed to sit on your chin. Let me remove that kasturi bindu chinna from your chin. And it's like this. So therefore, they each have their different sevas. The Vishakha. So then, Chitra, she's expert in offering cloves to digest the bhoga, flower garlands, and preparing the same. Induleka is expert at making drinks, all types of nectar drinks, and Amrit Piyusha, and she's expert in dancing. Champak is, she's expert at fanning and offering jeweled necklaces. This is told in this description is coming from Radha Krishna Ganesh Deepika, and also in some books by Siddha Krishnadas, Tata Siddha Krishna's. So he, of course, we know if you study Madhyan Leela, at Radhakund, there's the Kunja of Champakalata. And within her Kunja, she has a very wonderful kitchen, deity kitchen, a kitchen for Radha Govinda Yugo. And she goes there, and Radha and Krishna, where they stop. And you have your favorite place where you stop in the city to catch a bite of food or something. So their favorite place, they can eat anywhere, and they do sometimes take a snack here and there. But Radha and Krishna's favorite place to use an American phrase, to chow down, to relish some boga, is Champakalata's Kunj. That'd be a nice name for a restaurant, Champakalata's Kunj. So Radharani, I forget. She has a nickname, Mishtahana. Hana means hands. Mishtana means sweet. Sweet hands. So we know her for that, but this is her specific Nitya Seva, that she's expert in fanning. Chamar Seva are different types of fanning. And also in offering jeweled necklaces. Rangadevi is very expert in applying, among so many things, but in applying sandalwood paste. Supplying, grinding, preparing, and supplying. I mean applying. Supplying and applying. Tungavidya Sakhi is expert in singing, dancing, and playing musical instruments. She's Vidya. She's Sangeet. Sangeet Vidya. Tungavidya is explained in Radha Krishna Ganesh Deepika that she's expert in 18 branches of knowledge. The word Tunga means powerful, deep, strong. So she has strong knowledge, heavy knowledge, and 18 different branches of knowledge. And so she's Tunga Vidya. Let's continuing discussion in verse 135. About the sevas of the mantris, we're discussing right now the sakis, their individual expertise in different services. So one of them was Tungavidya, singing, dancing, playing musical instruments. So this is called Sangeet Vishard. People here, they go to Benares University. Benares University is very, very famous for teaching music and Sanskrit, lots of arts. And there are many, many music teachers there, sitar teachers in Benares. It's most Western people, they end up there for one reason or another. But it's a famous university, Benares. So there's one devotee here in the Jagannath Mandir, the Mahant, is Sarup Das Baba. He graduated from there. And he has a degree, Sangeet Visharad. He has a degree in Sangeet, which is music and composing, writing music, and playing different instruments. So he's actually a music teacher. You know the Sarup Das Baba in Jagannath Mandir on the Parikrama Marg? On the Parikrama Marg, there's only one Jagannath Baladev. So that Baba is there, Sarup Das. Yes. So Tungavidya is like this. Visharad means very expert. Sangeet Visharad. And many devotees, they learn harmonium from Sarup Das Baba. He's a very nice, very good teacher. And Western devotees, somehow they figure out how to communicate. Even without knowing Bengali or Hindi. He teaches many, I know. He has. So, now this is... Now the mantris. Well, Sudevi. Sudevi, she's expert in serving water. I often see paintings. Sudevi and Rangadevi are two sisters. They're twin sisters, born the same day, same time. They're twins, obviously. And so you can't tell them apart. They're so similar. Identical twins, I say. And her expertise is water seva. And they drink a lot of water. You can imagine. So that's a very important service. Rupa Mandri seva is massaging feet. Rati Mandri service is chamara, fanning. And Labanga's service is art offering. Labanga Mandri is Sanatana Goswami. Rati Manjari or Tulsi Manjari is Raghunath Das Goswami. Lavanga is is Sasnat Goswami. And Rasamandri is Raghunath Bhatta. He's expert in clothing seva. And then Gunamandri, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, expert in making beds. That's a very interesting seva, bed making. So it's not sheets and takia. Takia, I mean, that means pillow. It's not pillows and sheets. It's flowers, flower beds. So it's not, making beds, well, so big deal. No, it's quite it must be in a very elaborate art. The very few descriptions you see of flower beds are very few there in Shastra. It simply says flower bed. And sometimes different saints or sadhus, they, because of their spurtis or understandings, they describe those flower beds. And first it's lotus stems. There's so many lotus stems put on the Braja Raj inside the kunja. You know, lotus stems, long, green, very moist, fresh lotus stems. And they're like, I don't know, 2 feet long, pretty long, 1.5 feet, like this long, and a flower. So they take those and they weave them together, just the stems. Take out the flowers. Weave them together and you make a box spring. You make a spring. You know, very intricately done. Then so many leaves are put on top. So many fragrant leaves. Just like you take the leaf of a lemon tree. Everyone knows lemon tree, nibu. If you have nibu patra or lemon tree, if you just break the leaf, smell it, it's very fragrant. What to speak of kadi, kadi patta? Kadi patta, usually you buy dry. You put in dal or kadi sauce, you know, these dried leaves. Give it that distinctive flavor. It's called kadi patta. But all Indians, they grow it in pots in their verandas. It was growing here. They just, any piece of land, you plant some seeds from that kadi patta, then you get kadi, and the fresh leaves have that kadi sauce fragrance, you know, the distinctive aroma of kadi sauce, you know, yellow sauce. It comes from, sometimes you say tej patra or kadi, that's a different patra. Patra means leaf. So that leaf smells like this. Lemon leaves smell like lemons. There's one herb here, one leaf that grows here, and many villagers come here to get this. It's a medicinal herb for children. It's just growing here on this land, so they come and we just give it to them. And it smells to me like a Western herb, which I can't remember, like rosemary or thyme or something like that. And these are obviously very common spices in Italian cooking, rosemary, thyme, and like this. So pile up a bunch of leaves on top of those interwoven, interlaced lotus stems. So there must be some very fragrant leaves, whatever they are, I don't know, it's not told. Then on top of that, the flower petals, you know, like 2-3 feet of flower petals, mogra, like, you know, 50,000 flower petals, you know, the petals, or lotus petals. And then that, there's some, maybe some frame or something, so it doesn't just fly all over the place. Something to contain it all. Some, what do you call it, frame. And that's all in the middle. And then it's topped, and that's told in Shastra, a white satin sheet. It's a white, very white, thin satin cloth, like satin sheet. And then there's some pillows. There's satin cloth, but the pillows are stuffed with different types of flowers. In the West, they have a concept of potpourri. Potpourri, or potpourri, whatever it is, some French word. And it's called a little sachet. There's a small cloth, muslin cloth, and inside there's dried herbs. And you put that in your sweaters and blankets, and when you're storing for the winter. And it keeps the insects away, and it gives very nice fragrance to your wool sweaters and cloth, and you don't get any moths or any insects eating them. Nowadays people buy naphthalene balls. Everything's chemicals. These little white moth balls, in America they call them moth balls. It's naphthalene. It's nice. You put it in your baby's bed and you won't have a baby the next day. It's very nice. It's totally poisonous. So it's in some box somewhere in your attic somewhere, and keeping your sweaters for the next winter. But in ancient times, they didn't have all these death-defying, or not death-defying, but death-creating chemicals. They had natural things, natural insect repellents, just like the villagers when they harvest wheat from their fields. And they put it in these aluminum, tall aluminum cans, which maybe you've seen here and there. There's a little door in the bottom. By gravity, it flows out because it's a tall cylinder, 4, 5, 6 feet tall. And all the wheat is put in there, and they open the trap door, and it comes out by gravity. Close it. And the natural, otherwise, and wheat gets a lot of bugs. Like you buy grains sometimes, you buy organic dal, organic rice, and if you don't eat it fast enough, some bugs are going to appear there and eat it before you. So then that's not offerable or usable anymore. So what they do when they harvest the wheat, they put on that container, they put 1 kilo, 2 kilos, some small 1 inch, 2 inch of grain. Then they take neem patta. They take fresh neem patta, they put a layer there. Then they put more wheat, 1 or 2 inches, and more neem patta. You know? You see? Oh, you don't know. Anyway, because I was staying 5 years in Temple Garden in Vrindavan with Radharani Patak. I was the wife of Banwari Patak, and Brahmins. And so she had this system there, and she said, this is the village system. And this wheat is stored like this. And I've seen in the villages here also. Krishna's arrangement. So that they have these different services. So making flower beds, this is Gopal Bhatta's expertise. Guru Manjari. Manjulali is Lokanath Goswami Pad. He's expert in massaging. Says massaging whole body, not only feet. Some people, Pada Samvahan, Charana Samvahan, they only massage the feet. They're specialists. And acupressure, foot therapy. But Manjulali, the expert in full body massage. Vilas Manjari is, of course, Sri Jiva Goswami Pad, and she offers water also. And Kasturi Manjari, interesting, her name is Kasturi. Krishnadas Kaviraj's Manjari's Srup name is Kasturi. Kasturi means musk. It's a very fragrant substance, extremely fragrant. And her seva, it's easy to remember. It's easy to remember this, but it's called memorization by association. If you ever study memorization courses or take speed reading courses when you're in college, which many students do, we did also, there's different techniques for memorization. So one is called association. So associate one thing with another. The known, you associate the known with the unknown. So the known, or assuming it's known, Krishnadas Kaviraj's Manjari name is Kasturi Manjari. Oh, and Kasturi means musk, and I know that, and it's very fragrant. And so what's his seva? Well, his seva, I can associate his name with his seva because his seva has to do with fragrance. What fragrance? Well, what's the most fragrant? What is the most fragrant substance that the earth produces from the earth? Sandalwood, chandan. This is told in Shastras and Puranas everywhere. You may have your idea, but you might say flowers. They're produced from the earth also, but this is what the Shastras say. Because that's also there in Atika, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, and the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, and Mathura Leela, when Krishna entered Mathura, then Kubja was Trivakra. She was an embodiment of Mother Bhumi. And Mother Bhumi was meant in three places. Trivakra means three bends. And her name was, she was known as Kubja, because Kubja means hunchback. And her name was Trivakra. A third name is also there, I forgot. So Krishna, of course, there's a whole humorous meeting of her, and Balaram was there with Krishna, the coward boys, and the initial meeting on the streets of Mathura. He said, oh, beautiful lady, what are you carrying? Oh, I'm carrying sandalwood. So Vishwanath explains in his commentary there that this she was bent over because she's Mother Bhumi. And Mother Bhumi was bent over. She was feeling heavily. When you carry heavily, put a bag of cement on your back and see how straight you walk. Not too straight. You'll be bending over. Cement makes 100 kilos, one bag. And you'll be bending over. You see these laborers when they're carrying heavy bags of one mound of rice, they bend over and use their legs and try to and carry it from the rickshaw to the shop or wherever. So Mother Bhumi, represented by Kubja, she was hunchbacked, she was bent over practically in half because of the heavy weight of demons like Kans. Kans, that's how they say in Hindi, Kans. We say Kamsa. And so then Krishna straightened her out, figuratively and literally. So then she was so happy to be turned into a beautiful woman. And Krishna said, don't worry, soon you'll be relieved of your burden. The burden on the earth of this. Because it says in the second canto of Bhagavatam, Mother Bhumi can bear the weight of the Himalayas and the Pyrenees and the Alps and the Andes and this mountain and that mountain. Heavy, heavy mountains and oceans and countries. She can bear all that weight. All the different topographies and landmass. But there's one thing that Mother Bhumi cannot bear, she can't hold on her back, she can't uphold, is liars. It just breaks her back. So that most of the politicians and rulers of the modern age, they're all liars. So it's a heavy burden on Mother Earth. She responds with earthquakes, tidal waves. Usually if there's an earthquake in the ocean, then it's followed by a tidal wave. Volcanic eruptions. These are all unhappy, Mother Earth expressing her unhappiness. You know a volcano? Boom. It's like a mountain, there's lava inside. And the Polynesian Islands and Hawaii and all different places. So this is, she was very happy to meet Krishna and be assured that soon her burden would be relieved. And just to convince her, Krishna put his fingertips, maybe the tips of his thumbs or so, or I think index fingers, under her chin and lifted her up, and she stood straight and became very beautiful, like Mother Bhumi, like a devi, a celestial goddess that she is. And she felt very grateful, so she said, please take this sandalwood, and she was so excited and attracted, obviously, to Krishna and Balaram. She started smearing the sandalwood on their bodies. They're just wearing a chadar, so she's smearing it on their chest and arms, and they're saying, oh wait a minute, you know, not here in public. And the boys are saying, watch out, Krishna, you don't waste any time. You walk into Mathura, and in 5 minutes you meet the first lady in town. And if she's not to your liking, you make her to your liking. She was bent over and saying, well, this is not good too. So even when he first met her, he said, oh, beautiful lady, who are you with the beautiful thighs? And then Vishnu says, by saying this, Krishna's indicating his interest and his desire. Because can you imagine a man walks up to a strange lady, excuse me, miss or whatever, you have very beautiful thighs. Well, he'll get a slap or a punch or a kick or a 22 bullet or whatever. If it's New York City, you'll get a little derringer. Every lady carries a revolver in her pocket. But tear gas was in the 70s. Now they carry a little derringer. Just fits in your palm, 22 millimeter. Dot, dot. Bye. Don't bother me. And it's practical in New York City. God. So this is... So he says in that commentary that she offered the best thing she had. He says, Mother Earth offered the most fragrant substance that she produces, which is sandalwood. So which mandri has its service that deals with fragrance? There's a mandri that renders a service that deals with fragrance. Kasturi. I can't hear that far. You're speaking, but I'm deaf. And then, what is that fragrant thing? Sandalwood. So that's called learning by association. Just give you a small example. Because these are things we want to know, and we want to know the family, and we have to learn lots of things, and we want to, we're eager. You can learn when you're eager to learn. If you're not eager to learn, if you're not eager to hear the Bhagavatam, then you know what happens. Or if the delivery is not very eagerly presented, you may or you got up too early to chant your japa. I mean, there's many reasons to sleep in Bhagavatam class, and they're all very valid, but it's not a good idea. Anyway, so now that's Kasturi. That's the end of our list. Now this seva number five, as this is called Panchamrita Seva, is this, as I'm mentioning, this the mantri's Amrit Seva is massaging the feet. It's a very wonderful seva, and the meditation is described here for the sadhaka mantri to meditate for the mantri, in Mantri Bhava and Radhadasyam. So please hear this very nicely. So this is the description of the lila, where in this when and where and who and how and why this seva will be rendered by you mandri, me mandri, koi mandri, any mandri. In meditation here right now in this very form that we have, Indian, Russian, American, French, etc., or there in our nitya spiritual body, which of course is transcendental. Sometime or other, in some beautiful kunja, the seva alert manjari. Seva alert manjari sees that the eyes of the loving pair, which means Yugal Sarkar, are fluttering in fatigue. Slowly, Yugal drift off to sleep. Clutching their divine feet of Radha and Krishna ever so lovingly to her chest, Radha's mandris gaze admiringly at their sweet beauty. At this tender time, the mandri considers, brackets, seva vichara. Vichara means to consider. Oh, now they fell asleep. Their feet are so beautiful. Let me take this opportunity to caress them and fondle them. But what? Now I have to consider what's the best seva I can render right now. What will please them the most? What are they really needing? What are they wanting? What are they expressing by their gliding off to sleep, sliding into slumber? So now it's very late. The rasa dance has just finished. It's 2 a.m. So this is the vichara, the consideration, the thinking processes of the mandris, and at this particular time, 2 a.m., where in the Nikunja, and who is there? I'm with the divine couple, and it's my save opportunity inside the Nibrita Nikunja, in a very solitary private kunja, and I'm there. So firstly, I have to be very alert not to fall asleep. Because mandris aren't machines, they're not robots. Radha and Krishna, they exhibit the lila of being tired and waking, and so mandris also take rest, not for long. Nidra hara vihara kadi vijito chadyanta jina chiyo. Sadhu Goswamis, they conquered over eating and sleeping and all different material pushings. Vacha vegam and asakrota vegam. So it says Raghunathas Goswami would take rest at about 2 o'clock. Sounds familiar? As a sadhaka, he would take rest about 2 o'clock, sabado, 2:15. And then he would get up at 3:25, 1 hour. It's called a snap. I don't mean a snap deal. Snap deal on the internet. But I mean a snap a snap rest. A short rest. Because at 3:36 his seva begins. It's called cat napping. I think it's called cat napping. Like pussycats, they close their eyes and they're sitting here somewhere and they close their eyes. Have you ever seen? Many Western people have seen cat napping. So the mandri's first consideration is, at this tender time, she thinks, I must stay awake and be very attentive to make sure my pranapriya and priyatam. That is very nice. Pranapriya. Pranapriya is the name for Radharani. Mera pranapriya and mera priyatam. Priyatam is that utapmos. dear one, the dearmost of the dearmost. Asanelam, Vodasanam, Agesen. I must be very attentive, and then Radharani's my Pranapriya. She's the beloved of my life force, the Pranapriya. I must stay awake and be very attentive to make sure that Pranapriya and Priyatam don't fall off the flower bed while sleeping. This is the first thing. Okay, they're sleeping, and then they may fall off the flower bed. So the first thing I have to think about is I have to stay awake. And the second thing I have to consider is in Seva Vicharva Manjari, in her meditation to see this Leela, or in spiritual world at that final glorious moment of attainment when one enters the Nitya Leela Pravesha of Radha and Krishna and his Siddha Sarup to continue his eternal Seva of Radha and Krishna. Because the reason this is being said, they have to be sure they don't fall off the flower bed, because there's one verse in Radharasuta Nidhi which is really amazing. And I don't know if we cover it in this class. We haven't covered it yet. But Advaita Dasji told me this is one of his favorite verses, because it's too amazing, and it's very captivating to the mind and to meditate on. That the Manjari is, she's sitting on the, Radha and Krishna are lying on the flower bed in Nikunja in Vrindavan, in the forest. And the Manjari is sitting there at a very special privileged time and moment. She's sitting on the end of the flower bed, and she's just pressing their feet and massaging. Maybe she's alone, she's massaging Radha's feet, Krishna's feet. So while she's massaging the feet, the Manjari falls asleep and falls off the flower bed. So it's very funny. I mean, you try to imagine such a scene. Then maybe, I don't know if she made any noise. Hopefully she didn't bump and Radha and Krishna wake up. What was that? Like if you're sleeping and there's some sudden noise or some noise, something, some, like sometimes I lean the pots against the wall of the kitchen to dry at night if I'm cooking something. And you have these lizards, you know, these, what do they call these lizards? I forget the name in Hindi. And lizards that run around. So I'd be sleeping a little night, and they would hit that pot and go fall off, come sliding out the wall, then go onto the floor, ding dong, ding. What was that? And I go out and I see, oh, the pot was there, now it's there. And I think, wow, is it some kind of boot or ghost or prate or what is this? Poltergeist? And I didn't know, it's some lizard having his nighttime leelas in the kitchen or something. I don't know what it is. So the Manjari falls off the bed. So that's called inattention in your seva. So it happens. This is Sripad, is Manjari Srupavesh, Prabhupada Saraswati, observed as a Manjari, writing this verse. I fell off the bed. A very candid and frank confession. I was massaging Radharani's feet. I was right there in the kunja. What to speak of Siddha Krishnadas? Or was it different devotees? I forget. Maybe it was Srinivasacharya. I can't remember. It's very famous. Is it Bhakti Ratnakar? Or one of Siddha Krishnadas's books? He said, I was meditating, deeply meditating at the high state of Bhava Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti means you experience sporti or visporti. You can enter into the pastime. It seems that you've gone to the spiritual world. You're there. You're part of it. You're moving with Radha and Krishna. You're moving with Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari. You see them. They're visible to you. You're interacting, speaking. They're handing things to you. So in his meditation, I forget the sadhaka, it's written. It's a very famous anecdote. Maybe it's Srinivasacharya in his biography. I'm not sure. Or Siddha Krishnadas. And then it says that my Guru Sakhi or Rupa Manjari said, oh, go get that fragrant oil. Get that fragrant flower oil to offer. Radharani's just bathed. We want to anoint Radharani's body with some very fragrant oil, you know, on her neck or whatever. So then in his meditation, I ran out to get that oil where it was stored in some kunja griha by Brindadevi. And when I was running back, I tripped and I dropped the oil and it fell down and broke. And then I woke up from that meditation and I started crying. Oh, I failed in my service. My life is useless. My life is faltu, fruitless, useless. this is my golden opportunity to serve the divine couple, to serve Radharani. On Rupa Mandri's order, I ran out to get that itara, fragrant oil, and in the running back, I somehow tripped and dropped it, and he woke up. And this is all in meditation. It's described in our shastras, Gaudiya Vaishnava shastras. And then he was crying and felt, I'm so stupid. Will I ever get such a vision again? Will I ever be granted such an opportunity in my deep meditation and sporty? Will the divine couple ever accept me again? He had so much lamentation and fear. When I meditate again, and when I chant the holy name and deeply meditate in the Leela, will they let me enter the Leela again? Oh no, you dropped the oil. You're bekar. You're useless. You had it. We gave you a chance and you blew it. Now go. Of course, it's not so cruel like that in the Leela. But now it goes on. So he was in his kutir crying and lamenting, just crying and rolling on the ground. Oh Swamini, oh Ishvari, oh Pranapriya, oh Radharani, please forgive me, oh Rupamandri, and just so much repentance. Meanwhile, the sadhakas and the shishyas were being trained in bhajan shiksha by this great devotee, Srinivasacharya, or I forget, Siddha Krishna, it's in it, Bhakti Naraknakar, or some other book. I read it. It's very popular. There's only a few handful, one with the holy colors, and then this one. And then the sadhakas are doing a bhajan. What is that smell? What is that saurabh, that sugandhi saurabh, that fragrance, that itara? We're growing flowers here in our kunja where all the bhavas live and the devotees, mogra and roses and bela and champak. But what is this? It's a very celestial, unearthly smell, very attractive, enchanting. So they're going around, what is it? What is it? Looking here and there. Then it's coming from Gurudev's kutir, from the bhajan kutir of Gurudev. So then they looked in, they opened the door slowly, and they looked and they saw their Guru Maharaj and the Babaji was crying and just lying on the ground and crying and sobbing. Oh, hey Radhe, hey Radhe, hey Radhe, hey Radhe, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And when they opened the door, a heavy fragrance rushes out. So they went in and sat there, and they were looking at each other, looking at Gurudev, the Baba, crying. And somehow he came to external consciousness. He was in internal consciousness in the Leela. Then he was in, let's call it Ardabhaya consciousness. Ardabhaya. He was partially inside and partially outside. Not quite conscious because he didn't see they came in. It's in between. There's external consciousness and then kind of an unconscious state where you're not conscious and you're not fully into the Leela you were meditating on. This is Lord Chaitanya is described like this in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Bengali shlokas also, in Gambhir Leela. So then the Gurudev came the cognizance and he looked and he saw, oh, yeah, why? And then he understood he was crying and he said, why are you here? What are you looking at? Oh Gurudev, please forgive us. We didn't mean to disturb your bhajan. But, there's an amazing fragrance. This whole kunja here, the Seva Kunja where we're living, is completely saturated, the most saturated and drenched with the most celestial, amazing itaras, atiyati saurabh, sugandhi itara, fragrance of some oil. And he was thinking, how is that? And they said, it's Gurudev, it's on your chatter. This fragrance is coming from you. We traced it to your kutir, it's coming from you. Where does this fragrance come from? And he said, oh, don't worry. You do your bhajan. So what had happened, he in his meditation, he's meditating. Manasi seva, seva in his mental body, in his antas chinta deha, his internally conceived spiritual body. And he's doing seva there, and he dropped this bottle of oil. Now that fragrance came out of his meditation, out of his lila spurti, came down from the spiritual world and sprinkled on his clothing in this world as a sadhaka and sadhaka vesh, and was spread throughout the kunja where all the babajis were. This is amazing. This is a true story. And you might say, oh, how is this possible? You've heard of a book called Nectar of Devotion? Yes, nectar devotion, bhakti rasamrita sindhu. In South India, there was a Brahmin, and he was very, very poor. He couldn't afford sugar. Sugar is costly, especially in old days. Sugar and these things. And he would just beg some rice. He would get a little bit of rice, he would boil it with some water, and he would offer it to Lord Vishnu. So one day he was thinking, oh, I would like to offer some kheer. So I have this sweet rice. So in my mind, I'm going to mix this sweet rice with some very thick and rich milk and some nice sugar and some kishmish and elaichi, cardamom and raisins and many nice things and a little camphor or whatever, South Indian style payasam. And he's cooking. And he said, oh, I think it's done and it's ready to offer to my Lord. He's only, it's called Manasi Seva, meant service rendered or performed only in your mind. There's no stove, there's no rice, there's no sugar, there's no pot, there's no milk, there's no spoons. It's only in his mental kitchen, his kitchen in his mind. So then he thinks, oh, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't scoop out this sweet rice and offer it to Thakurji. It may be too hot, but how do I check? So just with the tip of his finger, because if your fingernail touches anything, your naka, it's called naka, ungali naka, if your naka touches the bath water or any offering you're about to make, then that's contaminated. So just with the tip of his finger, he's a South Indian Brahmin, he knows all the yamas and niyams. He touched that in his mind with his mental finger. He's meditating in his mind with my sadhaka body in my mind and my mentally imagined, or whatever you want to say, body. And he touched that sweet rice with his fingertip, and ow! It's very, very hot. It's too hot to offer. And he was so startled by the intensity of that heat in the meditation that touched his finger in meditation. And he woke up. And when he woke up, his finger was bright red, second degree burn. The finger of his human, tangible body, external body, sitting in his house. And then he couldn't see the sweet rice anymore. His meditation was broken. His mental kitchen was closed. And he was just thinking, ow. So immediately he put some coconut oil on it, because he's a South Indian. Everybody knows, every Indian knows that the best remedy for burns in the kitchen is coconut oil. You must be knowing that. Maybe it's written in Western books, but it's a standard medicine in every Indian kitchen. It's coconut oil. If you put coconut, as soon as you burn your fingers on a pot or somewhere, a stove, you know, cooking is like that. I also cook, I also burn. You put rub coconut oil, nariyal tail, ungali lepana, something like this, ungali lepan. You rub it on your finger, then you won't get blisters and it'll very quickly heal and it won't be painful. And I know also, because I burn my finger. So that's it for today's discussion, and we'll probably finish this verse. Well, let me finish, because we're almost finished. So you must stay awake and be attentive to make sure that my prana and priya, that they don't fall off the flower bed while sleeping. What blissful consciousness the mandri possesses, and what a wonderful meditation for a mandri bhava upasakas. So this is it's called mandri panchamrita. We talk about Panchamrit, Panchagavya Panchamrit, and Thakurji Snan, Abhishek, honey and ghee and yogurt and milk and sugar, powdered sugar, sugar water, Panchamrit. So this is Panchamrit Seva, five nectarine sevas of the mantras. Fanning, offering tambal, fanning, massaging the feet, decorating, and offering fragrant water. I don't know, whatever the other one was, I forget. Dressing, etc. So the verse again, oh, when? It says, kada means when. Oh, when? I'm hankering, I'm praying. And he's teaching the sadhagas, we pray, we hanker, we desire. We shape our desiring like this. We desire for the future. We desire a better future. We desire the eternal seva of Radha and Krishna in very specific ways. Well, when will I, in Radhadasyam, as the eternal maidservant of Radharani, in Raghunuga Marg, Raghunuga Bhakti, when can I serve Sri Radhika and Madhav in the bower house, Kunja? By sometimes kwachit, offering them betel nuts, sometimes massaging their feet, sometimes adorning them with flower garlands or jeweled garlands or gunjamala, sometimes fanning them and sometimes offering them delicious camphor-scented drinking water. So these are the panchamrita, the sevas, they're very nectarine to meditate on, and they're very wonderful services that someday the perfected devotee in his meditation at the level of Bhava and Prema, or when we finally enter the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna in our Siddhadeya, our eternal Siddhasarup, we may render all these different services or many of these services for the pleasure of Radha Govinda Yugo. Shri Radha Rasuranadi Ki Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Prabhadananda Saraswati Pada Ki Jai, Shri Kartik Devi Radharani Ki Jai, Shyamakun Radhakun Girgo Vrindavan Ki Jai.